This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We're taking a listen to specific testimony from the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. We are now up to continued testimony. This is part two of Ian Pawlowski. He took the stand for the second day in a row to deliver his testimony against Lori Vallow Daybell. Take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, welcome back this morning. I understand they've all submitted their juror affirmations today. Is that correct, Mr. Bailiff?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you again for your continued service. Apologies for the delay in bringing you in this morning. The court was conducting a matter outside of your presence as it relates to some evidence that was in dispute in the case. We've got that resolved at this time. I'll note that Mr. Pawlowski was previously sworn in this case, and I believe where we ended yesterday, the state had completed direct examination, so at this point, it would be time for defense to conduct cross-examination. So, Mr.
I'll be doing that, Judge.
Thomas, all right. Mr. Thomas, if you'd like to conduct your cross-examination of this witness, you can do that. And before you start with your testimony, let me just confirm again with the witness. Did you... between the time we ended court yesterday and this morning, did you read any of the trial testimony, look at anything about the case, or do any investigation of the case since yesterday? Okay, thank you, Mr. Pawlowski. So, Mr. Thomas, then, if you'd like to commence with direct, you can do that.
Is your microphone on?
I think it is now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Mr. Pawlowski, how are you this morning?
Doing all right.
Good.
As can be, I guess.
Right? Okay. So, yesterday, we went through the direct examination of you, fairly brief. Let's get a little bit more background on what we were talking about yesterday, if that's okay. It looks like you met Melanie in sometime in November of 2019, is that correct?
Yes.
And Melanie is your wife?
Yes.
Her name then was what?
Her last name was Boudreaux.
Okay. And she was she had just recently been divorced, is that right?
I'm not positive, but yeah, it was a few months prior that the divorce had finalized.
Okay. And do you know who her ex-husband is?
Yes.
Okay. And you've had some dealings with him?
Not personally.
Well, through court and those kinds of things.
Melanie has.
Okay. You don't go to court with her?
I haven't, because of COVID, I was not allowed in the courtroom.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. And so you met her, and then you got married to her, shortly after you met her. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how long had you guys dated before you got married?
It was 10 days.
10 days?
Yes.
Okay. And you got married in Las Vegas, Nevada. Is that correct?
Yes.
You indicated on direct examination that you had talked to Lori Vallow and that you actually, I believe you said you had to ask, or not had to ask, but you asked Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow for Melanie's hand in marriage. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Very chivalrous. And you did that because... Melanie, she doesn't have parents, or what's the deal with that?
At that time, Chad and Lori were the closest relatives that she had. She trusted them more than anybody else in her family at the time.
Okay. And do you know that whether or not her mother is still alive?
No, her mother passed away when she was young.
Right. Okay. Okay. You talked about hearing the term casting. Or casting out, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about that. What did you hear about, and who did you hear it from?
So there were references to it during phone calls that I heard. Basically, my understanding is that with casting, you're trying to expel a possession, demonic, disembodied spirit, or they were getting into this bug kind of possession that they were talking about, where something would crawl into your ear or your brain that would take you over. And so there were references to that during the phone call. Casting, you would pray to force that possession, the possessor, out of the body.
Okay. And some of those phone calls that you're referencing, some of those phone calls were recorded, is that right?
Correct.
And you recorded those phone calls?
Yes.
And that was at the request of law enforcement?
Yes.
Specifically the FBI?
Yes.
Okay. Are you currently working with the FBI in any capacity?
No.
Not in any capacity in another case or anything else?
Not at all.
Okay. When did you stop working for the FBI?
It was approximately 2 weeks after I started.
So you only did this for 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who knew that you were recording these conversations?
It's myself and the FBI.
Okay. And this was after you were married?
Yes.
And your wife didn't know you were recording?
She did not.
Does she know now?
Yes.
Okay. I want to take you to December 12th, 2019. Do you recall that specific day?
No. You'll have to refresh me.
If I were to tell you that that's the day that Alex Cox died, would that refresh your recollection?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. That was a pretty significant date for Melanie, right?
Yes.
And you were part of Melanie's life, and you were trying to be there for Melanie?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall talking to Lori and Chad on a phone call on that day?
I don't specific. I know we had a phone call with them. I don't remember the specifics of it.
Okay.
It's been a few years.
And it wasn't, it may not have been that particular day that he died. It may have been the day after, is that right?
It may have been, yeah.
Okay. And in that conversation, do you recall whether or not Melanie what was going on that particular day when you found out that Alex had passed away?
From what I recall, Melanie had been told by Chad and Lori to go to a place of safety.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to my apartment. Melanie was at my apartment. She went up to the temple in Rexburg. And I don't. That's about as much as I can remember.
So you were in Rexburg, and she was in Rexburg?
Yeah.
And is this a time when you secretly recorded her?
Yes.
Okay. And she didn't know she was being recorded?
No.
And they had put it on speakerphone, do you recall that or no?
The recording on speakerphone?
Yeah. The phone call that she was on?
Yeah, sometimes when they would talk, yes, it would be on speakerphone.
Okay. And do you recall whether or not Chad and Lori gave Melanie a comforting blessing that day?
I don't remember if they did or not.
Okay. You were making these recordings and then turning them over to law enforcement, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the purpose of making these recordings?
We were trying to find out if there was, you know, we were trying to either obtain some kind of evidence. You know, I didn't know what the FBI knew. And I was hoping, we were both, I guess the mutual hope was that we would get anything that we could use to help find Tylee and JJ.
Okay. So you went to the police or to the FBI?
I went into the Rexburg Police Department initially.
And they contacted the FBI?
The FBI was present when I arrived.
When you arrived. Okay. And how many recordings do you think you did?
I believe there were 9.
9 recordings?
Mm-hmm.
And did you listen to these recordings with the FBI after they've been recorded?
I've heard bits and pieces of them. I haven't ever listened to them all the way through.
Okay, when you say you've heard bits and pieces, how does that come about? They just call you in and ask you to listen to this and see if you can interpret?
No. So I've actually never listened to them with law enforcement. It's always been in the context of leading up to this trial. So it's the last time I listened to recordings was when we were summoned to the grand jury to indict Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some brief snippets that we listened to there. It was probably a grand total of maybe 10 minutes total that I heard.
Okay. And what kinds of things were in those snippets?
There were snippets with discussions between Melanie and I, and there was a phone call with Chad, Lori, Zulema, Al, and Melanie present.
And what were those recordings about?
I was questioning, I was asking questions to Melanie. I was trying to figure out what she, what she was hearing, what she was understanding. I was also trying to, another recording was, the one with everyone present was, at that time Melanie was sick. And so she was just calling to talk to her aunt, and everybody just happened to be on the phone call. And so they started, the one thing that stands out was Lori said she folded Satan up like a taco and sent him to Antarctica.
Mm.
Lori said that she was able to cast Satan out by folding him up into the shape of a taco and locking him in a box in Antarctica.
Okay. And did that make any sense to you at the time?
Nope. Okay. They were talking about spiritual attacks coming soon, that things were going to get difficult for about 2 weeks, and then everything would settle and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I think that was a recording I made on December 6th.
Okay. And so you don't have any specific, you have specific recollection of the December 6th recording about something that Lori said, but you don't have any specific recollection of a blessing that was given to Melanie?
No, I gave Melanie a blessing.
You gave Melanie a blessing?
When Al died, yeah.
On the 13th?
I don't know.
12th or 13th?
It was 12th or 13th, yeah. I just gave her a blessing of comfort.
Okay. And was that when Lori and Chad also were on the phone?
No, they weren't on the phone at that point.
They weren't on the phone. But you don't recall ever being involved in a blessing with Chad and Lori?
No, I don't recall.
Hmm. Do you think that there was no blessing with Chad and Lori?
No, it's very possible. I mean, blessings were flying around like flies.
What kind of blessings?
Blessings of guidance, comfort, to remove dark weapons. I mean, when I called and talked to Chad and Lori to ask their hand in marriage, Chad gave me a blessing, and he removed all dark ties from me, and he removed dark weapons from me, and he shielded me with light, and there were just, lots of different things that he was saying. So at any time there was any kind of negativity or difficulty, there was almost surely a blessing that would come at some point.
So Chad and Lori weren't giving these blessings in a dark way. They were trying to raise you up to a higher level. Is that right?
Yeah, that's how it came across at the time. Yeah.
At the time, does it come across differently now?
I mean, given the context of it, I mean, given everything that's happened since, it feels a lot more like manipulation than it does, true intent to help.
You feel like you were manipulated?
Absolutely. More than anything, I feel like Melanie was manipulated and taken advantage of in one of the most difficult and dark times in her life.
And difficult and dark times, what are you talking about?
She was going through a rough divorce. Her children had been taken from her. This case was being there. There's no shortage of people in Melanie's life that will abuse her and her circumstances to get what they want out of her.
And
Lori was one of them.
And it's your understanding that Lori was trying to get something out of Melanie?
That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I haven't ever seen any hard evidence of that. But in the investigations and discussions I've had with law enforcement, with attorneys, everything that's come since, it really looks like there was something to be taken from Melanie.
Let's talk about that. What kind of manipulations, what kind of interactions have you had? You seem to not really have a lot of interactions with law enforcement, and not have a lot of recollection about those interactions with law enforcement. So let's talk a little bit about that. What are you talking about?
Objection, that's argumentative.
Well, that was an argumentative comment, Mr. Thomas.
All right. What kind of interactions have you had with law enforcement that you've gained where you believe that Lori has been manipulating Melanie specifically?
So there's been, in the 2 weeks that I was meeting with them, there were a lot of things that came about that didn't look like Lori was exactly being truthful with Melanie.
What was she manipulating Melanie about in those 2 weeks?
She was telling her, that Brandon's dark, that law enforcement officers that Melanie should have been cooperating with were dark, translated beings, that they were out to get them, that they were impeding their holy mission. when in reality these officers were trying to find two missing children, find out what had happened with the shooting of Brandon Boudreaux.
So Lori said that you were dark.
Lori never said I was dark, no.
You said Brandon was dark. Oh, Brandon, her husband, Brandon Boudreaux. Okay. All right. And, okay. All right. But they never said anything poor or bad about you?
No, they did not.
And you recorded all those conversations so you would know, right?
Right.
Right. If I could have just a second, Judge.
Yes.
Your Honor, based on his purported lack of knowledge of what is recorded on December the 12th or December the 13th, we'd ask that he listen to what has been marked as Defendant's Exhibit F to refresh his recollection of that recording that he purportedly made on that date.
Your Honor, we would request a sidebar.
Very well. All right, counsel, we had a sidebar discussing the request that the witness be allowed to refresh their recollection with a recording based on the sidebar. The court is denying that request at this time, and you can continue with your examination, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Your Honor. So specifically with this Alex Cox passing, this was a big deal for Melanie, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
She was very close with Alex?
Yeah.
Alex was her uncle?
Yes.
Okay. And when this happened, were you there when she got the news?
Yes.
And how did you hear about that?
Zulema called and told Melanie. Mm-hmm.
And you were there for that phone call?
Yes.
Okay. And then at some point, Melanie called Lori and Chad, is that right?
Yes.
And that particular phone call was recorded by you?
Yes.
Okay. And were you trying to record all the phone calls that you had with, that Melanie had with Chad and Lori?
As many as I could without, you know, being too obvious. I mean, there were some conversations where, you know, for me to just walk into the room and stand around, it would have been really awkward and, you know, just unnerving to her. Not unnerving, but just it wouldn't have felt appropriate for me just to show up and stand around and just hang out until she's off the phone. So I got as many as I could where it felt appropriate.
But on this particular occasion when Alex had died, Melanie was quite distraught, right?
Correct.
And she was crying?
Yes.
And she felt like she had been attacked by spiritual demons or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, so that's how that she had been told by Chad and Lori that there was going to be a spiritual attack that day to get to a place of safety. And with Alex dying, that confirmed that.
And on that particular day, did you feel like that was something that she was actually being led to, or is this something that she was being manipulated?
You know, I have no clue how Chad and Lori could have called that Alex was going, or not that Alex was going to die, because they never said that specifically, but that there was going to be something bad happening, that there was going to be a heavy spiritual attack. When Alex died, it felt very strange to me that they'd called that out right before it happened. I think everybody at that point was grieving it. You know, that's Lori's brother. So, somebody that she loved and cared about. So I think everybody was hurting. It's Zulem's husband, Melanie's uncle. I think everybody's genuinely hurting. You know, so if, you know, at that point, if there is any manipulation, it's kind of already been, the groundwork's already been laid for it. I don't think there is any active attempts at manipulation at that point.
So there was no manipulation on that particular aspect?
I mean, like I said, there was groundwork laid for it. You know, with all of the spiritual, I guess the best way I can explain it is, you know, there's reality, and then there's the layers of spiritual explanations that were laid over reality. And that's, you know, at that point, I don't think Lori was pushing to manipulate that particular event to hurt Melanie.
So she wasn't manipulating. You thought that was a spiritual event.
I didn't believe that was a spiritual event, but I don't think Lori was trying to manipulate Melanie.
You don't believe that Chad and Lori giving Melanie a blessing over the phone was a spiritual event?
Well, no. I mean, I guess in that context, yes, it was a spiritual event, yes. But I don't believe there was a spiritual attack that killed Alex.
No, right. But Melanie said she was... Did Melanie say anything about her being feeling spiritually attacked or feeling...
I don't specifically recall her saying that. I'm sure she, I mean, yeah, I could imagine in at that point, yeah, she did. But I don't specifically recall anything that she said.
Okay. Do you recall Chad and Lori putting shields of light around Melanie when they were giving her this blessing?
That sounds like something that they would do, but I don't remember it specifically.
You don't have any specific recollection?
Right.
Okay. And how many times, you indicated that you recorded these 9 recordings about two weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many times were there spiritual blessings in those recordings?
There were just a handful that if I remember correctly, there weren't very many.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, they... Yeah, I think there were a handful of them that were done over the phone.
And were you ever brought into those blessings?
Yeah.
So you also were blessing Melanie at the same time?
If I remember correctly, there may have been... Yeah, I may have done that at some point. I know I gave her a blessing the day that Al died.
Okay, but specifically when Chad and Lori were giving her blessings, were you ever called in and did you ever lay hands on Melanie's head when they were giving a blessing?
I don't remember specifically if I did, but... Based on how blessings were given, you know, the way they organized the blessings, that's absolutely something I could have done.
So you're saying you don't ever remember putting hands on Melanie's head while Chad and Lori talked over the phone and the three of you gave her a blessing?
I don't specifically remember it, but if you told me I did it, I'd believe it.
You don't specifically ever remember doing that?
No.
Objection, Your Honor. This has been asked and answered multiple times now.
Sustained.
All right, Judge, we have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Redirect from the state?
No redirect, Your Honor.
All right. Any objection to the witness being excused?
No, Your Honor. We would ask that he be released.
Any objection from the defense?
Your Honor, we may call him in our case in chief. So, yeah, we're not going to allow him to be released.
Your Honor, we would ask that he be released from the state subpoena.
And, Judge, given the... I'm sorry. May I speak?
Go ahead.
Given the posture of Mr. Pawlowski, we'd ask that he is unlikely to come back should we... need him to come back, so we would ask that he not be released from this subpoena.
And, Your Honor, I would just indicate there doesn't appear to be any hesitation on Mr. Pawlowski's part to be here today. If the defense wants to bring him back, I think they could.
All right. Well, the court's not aware in the file of who has placed Mr. Pawlowski under subpoena? Is it the state only?
We have a subpoena. I cannot speak for the defense, but the state has a subpoena, and we would release him from our subpoena.
All right. Here's what I'll do. I'll allow Mr. Pawlowski to be released from the state subpoena. However, I will direct you that before you leave, that there be an opportunity, if the defense wishes to recall Mr. Pawlowski in order to ensure his attendance, that they be provided an opportunity to serve a subpoena.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And I'll authorize one on short notice if required. Perhaps during the break you can discuss that issue with Mr. Pawlowski and see if there's any assurance that he'll appear and whether or not you need to go through the step of placing him under subpoena.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. So you can go ahead and step down. That concludes your testimony at this time, Mr. Pawlowski.
Your Honor, I apologize for interrupting. Mr. Pawlowski is here with counsel out of Arizona. His counsel indicated to me that he is willing to accept service, that Mr. Pawlowski would be willing to come back under that subpoena from the defense. If that is, in fact, their intention, he will accept service.
Okay. Thanks for that information as well, then, Ms. Blake.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
That was Ian Pawlowski taking the stand in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. If you want to give us your thoughts on any of this, you can do so. We got a phone number for it. It's 888-5KILLER, 888-554-5537 to weigh in with your thoughts on the trial, Lori Vallow Daybell, or any of the cases we're following for you right here. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.